Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Full Court Press, brought to you by The Game on News Talk 1400 and The Game Entertainment and Media. Scott Nason with you on this Sunday, February 27th, as we are joined, as always, by co-host Matt Johnson. And Matt, we're almost to March Madness, and certainly we got a lot of talk about as far as boys high school basketball in the area. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. You know, I'm trying to fill a little bit of the time now after I was so emotionally invested in the end of NFL season with my Bengals, and we talked about that last week. And watching basketball here, I've been watching a lot of that, and I binge-watched Cobra Kai, Scott.
Oh, wow. Well, I can't get away from the war coverage. I've been watching that a lot. But, of course, we're not here to talk about Cobra Kai or the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We're here to talk high school boys basketball in the Eastern Upper Peninsula, and we have two guests this morning as we are joined by Rudyard head coaches for their boys varsity basketball program, Jim Suggett and Tracy Peterson. Excuse me. Gentlemen, appreciate you joining us on Full Court Press, and how are you guys doing?
Great, Scott. Doing good this morning.
Good. Good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, great having you guys on short notice. Matt and I appreciate that. And we'll just rotate questions back and forth, guys. And I'll have the first question. This week, bouncing back after your only loss of the season against St. Ignace, Rudyard defeats Sheboygan, clinching the Straits Area Conference on Tuesday, 56-27. And then in your last game, taking down Pickford, 86-36, also clinching the EUP Conference Championship. So I'll go to you guys first. Jim, I'll go to you as far as, you know, obviously, a loss is not a good thing, but you guys bounce back nicely and clinch two conference championships in the same week. That's got to be pretty proud moment for you and your players.
Yeah, you know, anytime you can win the SAC, it's a big thing because we're one of the smaller schools in that. So anytime you can get by St. Ignace and the Sioux and Sheboygan, it's always good basketball. Yeah, we started playing better the fourth quarter of the St. Ignace game. I think we played well in the double overtime, and that energy carried over into our starts for our next two games.
Jimmy, congratulations on the season so far.
Thanks.
You know, you've worked as hard as anyone and frankly deserve it. So just talk here. You have a couple games left in the regular season. Angadine and Brimley both at home. What are you looking at these last couple games? Are they just, you know, you're just checking off the box, getting them through? Is there anything that you're looking to see the team improve upon in the rest of the regular season?
Oh, lots. And if you've been watching Angadine, they seem to be playing very inspired ball lately. There's been a lot of closer games for them than the first half of the season. They do have the two big guys in there, so we're gonna try to work on some things, not turn the ball over as much, continue to push the ball, try to keep guys from scoring on us. So those blocks inside the game, we're gonna still focus on those.
Tracy, I'll go to you next for a question. You know, you've been around this program a long time, and of course, one of the co-coaches with Jim, and you have your son, Cam, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago. A lot of success last season and really this season as well. What's been the secret to the success for the Rudyard Bulldogs, in your opinion? You know, you've been around this program a long time. How has this team gotten so good, and why do they remain such a good, formidable opponent for many teams?
Good question. I don't think it's any secret, with the team. They're a very close knit team, and they really put in the extra time to get better. A lot of these guys have been playing together for, 7 or 8 years doing travel basketball. So they really know each other well, and not only in basketball, but all the sports, they've really had a lot of success.
So it's an interesting dynamic with you guys working as a team here on this. And, yeah, I know I've known both you guys. I've worked with both of you guys. And, different personality types. How are you able to work together and not have, like, you know, whenever there's two strong people, like sometimes their ideas can clash and there can be personality clashes. How are you able to stay on the same page and put such a great product on the floor?
Well, Jim's pointing at me, so I guess I will, I'll go first on this one. I guess to know us both, you would know that we really, strive for success. I think sometimes we're perfectionists. We put in the time, and maybe where one of us falls short, the other one, picks it up. So it's just one of those things where it's a great situation. We both really work well together. And I also want to say we don't always agree on everything. We do have our times when we disagree. And I think that's a good thing. I think when you're coaching together, you have to have somebody that will, you know, question things and throw ideas out and want to make changes. And we've been able to do that. And we trust each other and it's worked out great.
Yeah, exactly. You know, iron sharpens iron. So like P said, the kids have been playing travel ball together, but we were coaching together way back then too. I mean, I'd want to say we started probably Cam and Vic came up and played with us when we had the sixth grade travel group or maybe fifth grade. So those guys were playing together, but we were doing the same thing, coaching together. And when you have the same goal in mind is to get better, then that makes things a lot easier.
Jim Suggett and Tracy Peterson joining us on Full Court Press, head coaches of the Rudyard Bulldogs boys varsity basketball team. Matt, did you have a follow-up question?
Well, I had a comment. And this is actually, you know, we have different coaches who listen. And I just would throw this out there for kind of newer coaches getting started. At some point, you're going to be on a staff with other people, and you're going to have a difference of opinion on something. And one of the keys, I think, to these guys' success and really anyone who's working with other people is when there is a disagreement, you can't be keeping score all the time. Well, who was right on this? Who was wrong on that? And all of a sudden it becomes like an internal conflict. You know, these guys, it's clear that their focus is on their team and the final outcome, not trying to win arguments against each other. And I see it all the time. I see it all the time, sometimes with inexperienced coaches, their first time around the block. So learn from this example of how it's done well, and you don't have to repeat that heartbreak that others have had. Go ahead, Scott.
Jim and Tracy, you know, we've talked to both your sons here on Full Court Press, EJ and Cam, and I wanted to just talk about all the players on your team, and that's what I think is very dangerous about this Rudyard Bulldogs team. It's not just the players that we talk about a lot that are leading scorers, but you have several key players coming off the bench. So just give us a snapshot of the other players on your team besides your two sons that have helped to make this Bulldogs team so good this season and really the past few seasons.
Austin Warner, like I said, even in football and any of the sports, he's probably the most underrated kid we have. He just brings his lunch pail and goes to work every day, and that's nice to have. Like you see, he was on the floor three or four times on Friday night. Brett Merrick coming back this year is big for us. Those kids playing together, they all have their different things that they do better than others. Jesse Zerp has been big for us. Aiden Bickle has been doing a couple quarters on the JV and then coming and playing at the varsity level. Dylan McMillan has really stepped up. Aaron Lum, we have some guys that can play. Jake Nolan comes in the end of the second quarter and hits a three. So these guys having to practice against each other, and there's some very competitive practices. I'll let P go into what we call shell sometimes and what happens.
Yeah, some of the drills we do get extremely competitive. They tend to spill over after practice into the locker room but that's what we want. We want the kids to be competitive. That's how you get better. And it's really worked out well for us.
So I contend that this is for the Straits Area Conference, I contend that this is the strongest it's been in a decade. Over a decade. I guess questions for both of you. Well, for Tracy, how do you compare the Straits right now versus kind of when you started your first run with Rudyard as a varsity coach? And then, Jimmy, I'd be curious to hear what you have to say just kind of about the conference and the teams in it and what you've had to go through this year.
You know, like any conference, you're going to have your ups and downs, and I think the Straits right now is trending up. We have an older team, you know, lots of seniors. But when you take a look at St. Ignace and the Sioux, they're a little bit younger. So, you know, next year, I think, you know, they'll be right up at the top. And you know, it just like with any conference or any team, you're going to have your ups and downs. And right now, the Straits has been trending up.
Yeah, I agree. When we started, and EJ and Tate and Root were all freshmen, we had some seniors that could play. We had a Paul Staker and a Dylan Mills, Gavin Smith. So we had enough guys that we were able to still play while everybody else was kind of down. Sheboygan was decent. The Sioux had just got done with their big run when they had Brandon Paul and Shane Thompson and some of those kids that made them special for 3 or 4 years. And like P said, right now, man, the Sioux's got, they can start 3 or 4 sophomores. St. Ignace is starting sophomores. It looks like it's going to be a strong conference for a couple of years.
Jim Suggan and Tracy Peterson joining us on Full Court Press, head coaches of the Rudyard Bulldogs boys varsity basketball team. And guys, Matt mentioned 2 regular season games to finish the season. The district draws are out. You will be in District 101 hosted by Engadine. You'll face Ojibwe Charter on Wednesday, March 9th. And then the other teams in that district, Engadine and Brimley. You know, looking at last season, you know, making that deep run, how important was it for you and your team to get to that stage? Because that's a whole different stage once you get to the quarterfinals and beyond. That's going to help you this year, you know, making your first state semifinal since 1963. And certainly your favorites probably to get back there, but there's always lots of good teams. I know you're not looking ahead that far probably yet, but the question I have to both you guys is how important was it for you and your team to get to that level once and hopefully get beyond it this season?
Gosh, it was kind of a magical run last year. It was a blast. You know, and we gained a lot of experience, and the seniors we have can take that experience and apply it towards this year. But again, we're not looking, you know, at the finals already. We're just taking one game at a time. That's how we have to look at things, because there is no guarantee. There's a lot of good teams. There's good teams in our district. There's several good teams in our regional. So it's no guarantee getting back there. So we're just taking one game at a time.
Let me ask you about watching that game against St. Ignace. I thought that one of the big positives for your team was the way that this McMillan kid played in that game. As a kid, not in the lineup, but made some big shots. And so is that something, did that catch you kind of off guard? Or is that something that you guys see in practice? And are there any other kind of hidden treasures or guys that you see things from in practice that you have, maybe it hasn't fully come out during games yet, but you think it's on the verge?
No, I mean, we see that, like when we talked about the competitiveness in practice, I mean, Dylan gets to guard EJ every day, so he's learning. I mean, they're getting beat on. Jesse Zerb gets to go against Tate. So there's a lot of pride, and when there's running on the line at the end, nobody cares who you are. If the ball's on the ground, we need to go get it. But seeing their confidence grow with each other is something like Pete said. You know, that's kind of, it's special to watch these guys grow like that because they are such a close group.
Gentlemen, my final question for you guys is, you know, I saw Cam and Tracy at the Laker basketball game yesterday, and Matt and I talk a lot about that on this show as far as, you know, these high school basketball players and watching other games and, you know, just being fans of the game of basketball, certainly, you know, watching another team at a higher level as in Lake State. As coaches, is that something you ever stress? I know you're focused, of course, on the court stuff, but, you know, having players that, you know, watch a lot of basketball and go to these games, is that a learning experience for them that could help them on the court for your team?
Well, yeah, we went as a team to a Lake State game earlier this year. Yesterday, there was a good majority of our team. Most of our starters were there. And just to be able to see that pace or to see the pounding, you know, just how fast they play and how much they let them play inside, you know, we like to stress that in practice. You need to play at that higher level in practice to be able to do that in the game.
Yeah, and I would also say, just from a basketball IQ standpoint, when you watch college games or other high school games, the kids tend to learn a lot, and it gives you as a coach a chance to point out different things. And it seems like in our locker room, we always have a game going after practice that we're watching, or even after games, we'll turn on one of the local teams and watch them play. So these guys watch a lot of basketball, watch a lot of film, and it's really helped us to kind of teach the game and learn the game a lot.
I have a question for Jimmy. Jimmy, EJ is a senior this year, and you're going on, it's quite a hell of a run here. Am I correct that, first of all, this isn't the question, but did you retire from the prison?
I did, yep. Heather let me retire last May.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Retirement. So there's some speculation. People just naturally look and they say, well, EJ is a senior, good team. A lot of times coaches kind of leave after they have their, you know, top team. On the other hand, I know how passionate you are about coaching, and you have a little more time on your hands now being retired. What are your plans for after this season?
Well, there's baseball. Baseball will start sometime in April, so we'll get heavy into that. I'm a one day at a time kind of guy to go, but Heather's already alluded to that. I should probably at least stay through like Cam and Aiden, but I'm not sure what that means.
Okay. we try to be cutting edge and break news on this show, so I had to throw it out there. I think broke news. I think Scott, I think he's staying.
I hope so indeed. It's certainly a dynamic that's working well. The Rudyard Bulldogs 17-1 on the season, and they will end their regular season at home this week as they will take on Engadine on Tuesday and Brimley on Thursday before the districts will start in a week or so, and we'll have coverage of that over on Country 105 with Matt Pocket. Sometimes I fill in, and certainly looking forward to a long tournament run. As gentlemen, we appreciate you joining us here on Full Court Press. Best of luck this season, and who knows, maybe we can get you on again during a very deep tournament run.
Ooh. Yeah, go get them, guys. Hey, you guys, get your asses off here. You have some film to watch.
Yes, sir.
I had good talking to you guys.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Jim Suggan and Tracy Peterson, head coaches of the Rudyard Bulldogs boys varsity basketball team. We'll take a quick break, and Matt and I will be back with the rest of Full Court Press here on the Game Entertainment and Media. And welcome back to Full Court Press here on the Game Entertainment and Media. Scott Nason along with Matt Johnson on this February 27th edition. And Matt, great job getting both Jim Suggan and Tracy Peterson on the show. That's the first time that I've ever interviewed two coaches at the same time, and it really kind of fits in with the whole dynamic at Rudyard of having two coaches there. So I thought for having them both on the interview, I thought that was well done.
Yeah. You know, I'll be honest with you. Like, I just am really happy for those guys because
I am too.
Because this is a grind. You know, coaching is, and you put up with a lot of pain to get to the positive result. And Jimmy put in a lot of time for a lot of years, and yep. I don't just mean like people may not realize it, But it was like at the middle school or at the elementary and stuff like that. And I've always said he was like the Energizer Bunny because he just kind of like, he didn't seem to be fazed by anything. And like he just kept, the energy kept going and his will was very strong. And then Tracy, I've said before on the show, like he might be the smartest basketball person I know.
I agree.
And, you know, using this as an opportunity that can, you know, that it's a really a bonding opportunity with his son, but all these other kids, you know, are benefiting from that as well. And I think that he's enjoying the experience. And, you know, when I was athletic director when he was the varsity coach, the first run that he had in Rudyard, and it was a good run as far as, for sure, as far as the basketball was good. But it was also a very stressful run because at the time, you know, the coach had to, they were running the whole program down to the elementary level, down to like running concessions and coaching the KRS. And I just think he's in the spot now where he's able to do what he enjoys doing, which is preparing the team and not have to do any of the stuff that not only he doesn't like, but most of us don't like. And then Jimmy is there. It is a good compliment because I think Jimmy brings he brings a certain energy and accountability, and Tracy brings a good strategy mind. And, it's about operating without egos and just worried about the final product. And that's the reason that they've been so successful.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Matt. I was going to hit on just many of the things that you just said there. You know, Tracy Peterson and his tactics and X's and O's and analytics, I think, is second to none in this area. And Jimmy's passion and energy is probably second to none as well, as far as, and that's no offense to the other coaches, but those guys just bring such a unique partnership, and they put in a lot of time. And you mentioned it, you know, it starts in those lower levels and getting those kids developed to where they become good varsity basketball players. And certainly Rudyard has done that very well and in good shape for hopefully a very long tournament run. Matt, let's look at the games this week in boys basketball in the EUP. There were quite a few of them, so I'm going to go through the results and then you can comment on what you saw as far as the games themselves. Going back to Monday, Brimley won over Gaylord St. Mary's 57-51. Grady Newland had 18 points for the Bays in their victory. Another game on Monday, Ingenine, they drop a 67-52 decision at home to Mackinac City. Tuesday, St. Ignace, they won their eighth game in a row as they knocked off Mackinac City 75-30. We talked about Rudyard beating Sheboygan on Tuesday, clinching the Straits Area Conference. They defeated the Chiefs 56-27. E.J. Sugget had 13 points and 5 assists in that one. Cam Peterson with 10 points and 8 rebounds to go along with 4 assists. On Wednesday, Newberry, they win on the road at Manistique 48-42. Pickford in a close game Wednesday night were defeated by Ellsworth 58-52. Games on Thursday, St. Ignace, they clinch second place in the Straits Area Conference, winning their ninth game in a row as they top Sheboygan at home at 67-29. The Saints 14-4 now on the season. Cedarville Detour, they earned a 71-70 victory at home Thursday night against the International Academy of Flint. A lot of games on Friday night. Rudyard clinching the EUP conference, knocking off Pickford at home 86-36. The Bulldogs now 17-1. And after beating Newberry by 45 points at home a little over a month ago, the Suhai Blue Devils found a much different game on Friday and fell at Newberry 63-60. Brimley 8-9 heading into the final week of the regular season. They fell at home to the International Academy of Flint 73-71. Cedarville Detour, they improved to 9-8 on the season Friday as they knocked off Ingenine at home 54-36. And there were two makeup games played yesterday afternoon on Saturday. Pickford, they earned their second win of the season at home as they defeated Ingenine 54-36. And Suhai, now 8-11 on the year as they fell to Petoskey at home 53-39. So, Matt, lots of games this week. We have more next week before tournament time. What are your thoughts on some of the things that you saw this week?
Well, the story that's the leading story this week that, frankly, if we didn't have those awesome guests on, we'd open the show with, was Newberry defeating the Sioux.
big upset.
I mean, I texted Kenny after, congratulated him on the win, asked what happened. And I'll be honest with you, like, I was watching the Pickford Rudyard game on, I was watching it live. And when I was making that decision, I was like, I was thinking to myself, I didn't anticipate a close game. In fact, I was thinking I was going to congratulate Kenny on beating Manistique earlier in the week. I was like, that's a nice win for them.
Right.
You know, for Newberry. And then they come out and beat the Sioux. And a couple things at play here. First of all, and I say this as this is not a disrespect towards Newberry. It's quite the opposite. Most people would say they have no business beating the Sioux. You know, when you look at just like the talent and size and things. But you got to know something. Like, Kenny game plans.
He does.
And I've went against that where there's times where I thought I was going to beat them. And it's like walking into a trap when you play them. Like, they really do game plan. And some of these teams, some of these coaches don't game plan the way that others do. Kenny game plans. So, like, they're playing the Sioux, and they did a lot of work against the Sioux's trap. And he said that they did a lot of – the reason they did full court man in the game was they were trying to speed up the Sioux's offense. And I saw that when the Sioux played at Rudyard, when Rudyard had that game in Rudyard where they won decisively, that when the Sioux – they would rush things down the floor, and it would seem to throw off their sense of timing. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to throw off their sense of timing. It works. They win the game by three. And, you know, for the Sioux, I look at it, and I see I think it's the most talented team around. And although, you know, Rudyard's certainly up there too. But
yeah. They're
8-10, and you just have to be you have to be looking in the mirror like, what's happening here? What's going on? Because it's clearly a disappointing season. And Newberry, I mean, that's a lifetime win. That's a win when, as a coach, you look back on and you take a lot of pride. And there's no better feeling than when you're outgunned and you win anyway.
Yep.
Just by you're going to outcoach the other team. Hell of a job. Hell of a job. Congratulations to Newberry.
Yeah, certainly a big win. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I was going to say the other thing I want about the games of the week was that Cedarville. I did watch Cedarville against the Flint International. And if anyone, it's on Facebook. If you go to the Cedarville Detour Co-op's Facebook page, you can watch the game. It was a very exciting game. That went down to the very end. And that Flint team, you know, they have some basketball players for sure. They have some great athletes. But when you watch them play, it's like a different style of basketball.
Right.
And it just came down to the very end, and Cedarville was pressuring, and they had to create a turnover. So, they're playing, you know, they're winning the games that they're supposed to win. And I would argue, looks like they have decent momentum heading into the playoffs.
Looking at the boys high school basketball districts, Matt, which will begin a week from Monday, the Sioux High Blue Devils will be in Division II District 34, hosted by Kalkaska. They will play in their district semifinal on Wednesday, March 9th at 5:30 against the winner of the first round game between 6-12 Kingsley and 5-13 Sheboygan. You can hear that game over on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson and Ray Bell. The winner of that game will take on the winner of the other district semifinal between 12-6 Boyne City and 4-14 Kalkaska in the district final on Friday, March 11th in Kalkaska at 7 p.m. And trying to size up that district, Matt, it really looks like it should be Sioux High and Boyne City. Boyne City did knock off the Sioux High Blue Devils at the beginning of the season in the Sioux. So how do you size up that district? You know, there could be upsets. There always is. But, you know, that one to me looks like it's the Sioux and Boyne City. And the Sioux does have the talent to win the district, but the way things have gone this past weekend, I got to say, Boyne City, the Ramblers have to be the favorite going in.
Exactly. I mean, I love the Sioux's talent. I like their roster. There's several players on there that I wish I could have coached. But how could I pick them right now over Boyne City? Because it's going to be the same issues that we talk about all the time. They won't go with two bigs, the offensive style, the rotation, et cetera. So, you know, hey, I'm pulling for the Sioux. I want them to turn it out, but there's no way I could pick them right now.
St. Ignace will be in Division III, District 67, hosted by Harbor Springs. The Saints, 14-4 on the year, will play Harbor Springs, who are 7-10, on Wednesday, March 9th at 6 p.m. The other side of the bracket sees the first-round game on Monday, March 7th, between 12-6 Johannesburg-Lewiston and 9-9 Charlevoix, with the winner taking on East Jordan, who is 10-8, in the other district semifinal on March 9th, with the district final slated for Friday, March 11th at 6 p.m. Certainly lots of good teams in that district, Matt. I haven't seen any of the other teams, but St. Ignace has to go in as the favorite. I mean, they are just playing tremendous basketball. They still have a couple games this week to end the regular season. But to me, the Saints have what it takes to probably capture that district title.
Oh, they're on a roll. They are the hottest team right now, the hottest team in the UP, as far as, I mean, being on a roll. It's not just they've won all these games, but you look at the margins in some of these games, and they're just shooting the lights out, and they're just clicking at the right time. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win. Actually, I think they're going to win the district decisively. And by the way, this week, so they have Escanaba and Pickford, which is quite the combination of games.
Quite the dynamic.
Yeah. but we'll see. Like, that's interesting that they're playing Escanaba. I mean, I love it. That's what you do. You're getting ready for the tournament. You play up.
Yeah, I agree. Certainly that's going to be an interesting one to watch. Rudyard will start their quest to the return to the state semifinals and beyond in Division 4 District 101, hosted by Engadine. The Bulldogs will face Ojibwe Charter on Wednesday, March 9th at 6 p.m. The MHSA didn't have a location for that game as of yet. The first round game sees 1-17 Engadine host 8-9 Brimley, with the winner to face Newberry in the district semifinal on March 9th at 6 p.m. The district final will be on Friday, March 11th at 6 p.m. Rudyard, a heavy, heavy favorite in that district. But Newberry certainly getting things right. And, you know, who knows? Anything can happen. But, you know, looking at this district, I would say it's almost a foregone conclusion that Rudyard should make pretty easy work in that one.
Yeah, in fact, they probably will have practice later after the game. They'll play Ojibwe
right.
Charter. And then, because, I mean, you can look at it, and there's no way that like, a lot of those starter kids are going to play very much, just because you honestly get worried about injuries and things when you have such a disparity in competition. And it wouldn't shock me. And those kids are going to be mad at me now for throwing that idea. Once Jimmy hears this, he's like, ah, yes, another practice. But I'm wondering, with Brimley and Newberry, because Engadine is not going to be it, but between Brimley and Newberry, like you would look at it and you'd say that Brimley is like the more talented team. They certainly have better shooters. But if I'm Rudyard, I would rather play Brimley than Newberry, because Kenny's got that voodoo that he puts on teams sometimes, and like he gets those upsets where you don't see where it's coming from. They're just scrappy. And as a result, I'm like, I think I'd rather face Brimley, even though, like I said, I think, like, Brimley has some kids that can play, and they especially have some kids that can score. Their challenge is I don't think that they can play good enough defense to compete with Rudyard.
Pickford and Cedarville Detour will be in Division 4, District 102, hosted by Mackinac City. Pickford, 2-15 on the year, will be at Mackinac City, 12-7. In their district semifinal, that'll take place a little earlier than the other ones, Monday, March 7th at 6 p.m. The other district semifinal will see Mackinac Island take on Cedarville Detour. That one also on Monday, March 7th at 6 p.m. with the district final slated for Wednesday, March 9th. And Matt, this one really Mackinac City and Cedarville Detour. However, if you remember last season, a lot of people thought it would be Cedarville without Detour at that time, as you guys knocked off Cedarville in the district semifinal down in Detour. However, this one really looks like it's going to be Cedarville Detour and Mackinac City. And to me, that one's a toss-up. I don't know if those teams have played this year, but Mackinac City certainly having a decent season at 12-7. They don't play the schedule like Cedarville Detour does, but how do you size up that district?
Let me say this. When I was deciding what I was going to do as far as coaching this year, here's actually what I thought about. I thought it might not be an easy regular season, but I actually, looking at the Pickford talent, thought that we would be the favorites going into the district based on personnel. And having beaten Cedarville last year and essentially they're not that much different of a team as far as their guys, I look at it and I'm like, in these games, Pickford's advantage right now that they have over these teams is the post play. They have size that these other teams do not. Jacob Eddington, George Eddington, Zach Harrison to a degree. He's not really a big guy, but he does tend to score next to the basket. I can't pick them because they've just, in some of these games, you can't believe that they lose because they have the game in hand and just some really poor decisions take place. Like, that game against Ellsworth. Oh my God. They had it. And you're like, don't fire up a three in the corner in a close situation when you,
yep.
But, I just will say this. If you made me pick now, I'd go Cedarville Detour based on track record and performance in close games. However, I am putting this out there. I noticed the big problem that they had with Pickford's post in their last game and Kaysen Smith for Cedarville Detour I think he's the best player in the EUP conference that's not on Rudyard. Okay. And in that game, he kind of kept them in it when not much else was going on. But I would lean towards Cedarville Detour. But if you're Pickford, you see a path. You see a chance. And the thing about the playoffs, they're 2-15 right now. Yeah. They have Manistic and St. Ignace coming up. My God. But so if they lose those last two, let's say they're 2-17, obviously that's a horrific record. But guess what? When the playoff starts, you're 0-0.
Yep.
You know, and it doesn't matter really at that point. You made the playoffs. So Mackinac City, you know, they lost their best guy last year, their best player that beat us last year, and that we lost by one in that district final, graduated. They don't have a ton of height either, so that should be Pickford's advantage. Mackinac City will be a good shooting team. I think that you'll see close games both in that round and in the district final.
Scott Nason and Matt Johnson with you for this February 27th edition of Full Court Press. And Matt will end our show with the latest installment of War Stories with Matt Johnson talking about his previous coaching and other related duties as far as athletic director. So, Matt, what do you got for our listeners this week?
Okay, I need to do – this is going to be a War Stories follow-up.
Oh, wow.
Early – in War Stories, it might have been the first one, I shared the story about the parent who decided that the best course of action was to do an attack on Facebook. Okay. And I kind of brushed by what happened afterwards, but it was our first show. We were still getting our timing down. And I really did not do justice to the whole situation. I told the original story, but I didn't do a very good job on the follow-up. And I want to amend that story. Okay, so to be clear, what happened is we had an odd situation where we played Brimley twice in a week. We beat them, earlier in the week, and we ended up dropping the second game. I think we lost by 8 or 9 points, maybe 10. And I got a text message on Saturday saying, you know, there's a parent attacking you on Facebook, and I looked at it. Okay. So here's the follow-up. So I find out about it, and I get the guy's phone number. Like, I just asked someone, I'm like, can I have his phone number? And I call him, and he answers. I'm like, hello? Like, yeah, someone notified me today that you're attacking me on Facebook. He's like, oh, I'm not doing that. I just was asking a question. And I believe the wording of his stupid post was that he put something to the effect of, like, just wondering, like, when coaching jobs get posted, something about, do they go to the most senior unqualified staff members? That was the language that he posted. Okay. That clearly, you know, that's an insulting thing. And I said, is that what you said? He's like, yeah, that wasn't an attack. I just was asking a question. You were? I said, that's a question. I said, well, do you have anything that you would like to say? You have me on the phone right now. I would prefer you say it to my face like a man instead of, like, you know, I mentioned the previous podcast, as opposed to being like an adolescent girl. He then had some suggestions, and guess what one of the suggestions eventually came around to? His son should play more. Shocker.
Yeah, really.
And then came the one that I knew was coming as well. He talks about, like, he coached them when they were in, like, fifth grade. And he was trying to tell me what he did. So I'm thinking, like, some of these people, they sit there and it's like, this is, I've been coaching sports since, it's approaching 20 years. Okay. And someone who either sat on their fat ass on the couch and watched sports or they one time coached their kid's elementary team, all of a sudden they're the expert. So I was really lucky because I had a whole bunch of experts.
Right.
And he also, it's funny what happens is they pick like one thing and then that's the only thing that they pay attention to in the game.
Yep.
So, like, as an example, this guy had as a thought, like, if you take a kid out of the game, you have to tell him why he's coming out of the game. I'm like, okay, that's not a thing. First of all, you don't know how sports work. I do, after a lifetime of spending him in it. Sometimes you're taking a guy out not because he did something wrong. Like, that implies that there's, like, coming out of a game is because something was done wrong. Now, sometimes it is because there was an error, and that is when you address it. But if you're just rotating guys, you know, I never viewed it like the lineup on the floor stays forever until someone does something wrong, you know? So anyway, the long and short of it was, I was asked, like, well, what do you want to have done about this? And back then my attitude was, I always viewed it as, like, I never wanted to put the kids in a tough situation. I didn't want to put kids I was coaching in a spot where they were having to pick between their dad and their coach. So I always tried to kind of downplay the situation. I never drew attention to it. Like, I never wanted the guy booted from games and things like that. And, so in some ways, I feel like I let him get away with it. If I had to do it again, I'd have zero tolerance. I'd just beat his ass out and he wouldn't be there anymore. But that was the follow-up. He didn't, he never took it down. He did the, like, I'm sorry if you're offended thing. And he was kind of, he didn't stand up for it either. He was kind of chicken shit about it, but. Oh, well.
Yeah, Matt, my whole thing, and I usually don't comment too much on things, but, you know, it's all a matter of perspective. And what people have to remember, in my opinion, mind you, this is just one person sharing his opinion, is this is just high school basketball. And while we love it, and while we cover it, and while you coach, and why I broadcast, is because we enjoy it. But at the end of the day, you know, there's much larger issues to deal with. A bad economy, a war going on where, you know, people are dying in the streets and having to fight for their country. And this is high school basketball. And I just, you know, my hat's off to all the coaches that have to deal with so many. And there are several coaches in this area that are dealing with that right now. And I just think that parents, sometimes you just need to take a step back. And just remember, this is just high school basketball. The world will move on. Your sons or daughters will graduate. And, you know, I always use a term of, you know, kind of like the Al Bundy back in the Married with Children days, trying to relive his high school football memories from the 1970s or whenever it was on that show. This is just high school sports. We're very lucky to have them right now. You remember there was a time not too long ago in the COVID-19 pandemic, which we still are under, believe it or not, that, you know, there were no sports. And think of how you felt that time. You know, I know as a broadcaster, it was hard not being able to cover, you know, the games and sports that I love. And, you know, what this has done to our children and to the student athletes not being able to play. It's all a matter of perspective to me, Matt. There's a lot bigger fish to fry out there than how much your son is getting playing time on and off the court. And I just wanted to share my opinion on that sometimes you just have to just look at the big picture. This is just high school athletics.
Absolutely. It can be the greatest thing in the world for a kid as far as make great memories. Really one of the things that you enjoy in life, you can learn great life lessons. But, you know, I'll be honest, I think part of this comes from this becomes like a status thing sometimes with some adults, and they want to live kind of vicarious, you know, not most. This is like the exception, by the way.
Right, right.
Like, I want to be clear. Like my team, you know, 2 years ago that we went, you know, that won the conference, like I had some parents that I loved. Like, I mean, they were great, supportive sports parents and things. And that was actually the vast majority. Granted, I don't deal with parents at all in the Sioux with football, like coaching, but like they're awesome. Like they go beyond helping. So like this is a minority that I'm speaking of.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I agree.
But you know, a wise man once told me, if you take a beautiful T-bone steak and you put a little turd on top of it, it kind of makes the whole steak seem less appetizing. And that's why it's incumbent upon athletic directors to not let, you know, a small number of people tend to terrorize your program.
Well said, sir. Scott Nason and Matt Johnson with you for this February 27th edition of Full Court Press. And Matt, with the regular season ending next week and district starting a week from Monday, we're going to take next weekend off and we'll be back with our next edition of Full Court Press, likely on March 12th, but just stay tuned to our website. We'll give the information as far as the exact date of our next show. And certainly, Matt, by the time you and I get together for our next edition, we'll know the teams in the area that are advancing to regionals, which we will look at, and certainly several teams. We could have as many as four teams participating in regionals. So lots of excitement ahead here as March Madness begins, starting, for the girls next week and for the boys a week after.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. That's Matt Johnson, co-host here of Full Court Press, along with yours truly. Want to thank everyone for listening and especially thank our guests today, Tracy Peterson and Jim Suggett, the head coaches of the Rudyard Bulldogs boys varsity basketball team. Full Court Press brought to you by The Game on News Talk 1400 every Monday night from 6 to 8 o'clock, as well as The Game Entertainment and Media. You can find all versions of this show and past editions on the website, thegamesportshow.com, thegamesportshow.podbean.com, or just type in The Game Sports Show to your favorite podcast site. We're on everything, basically, and you can find it there. For Matt Johnson, my name is Scott Nason. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time for our next edition of Full Court Press here on The Game Entertainment and Media.